welcome to this week's No Refund Theater podcast. This week, NRT proudly presents William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. It'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. That's April 9th, 10th, and 11th. Every night, you can see the show at 8 o'clock in 111 Forum. All right, I'm here with a few of the people involved with Midsummer Night's Dream. Why don't you guys introduce yourself?
I'm Nicole Wells.
I'm Andrew Jen.
I'm Hillary Caldwell.
I'm Ryan Bergman.
Okay, now, what parts do you play or what role do you have in the show?
I'm Nicole. I play Mustard Seed and Starveling.
I'm Andrew. I'm the director.
I'm Hillary, and I'm Puck and Philostrate.
I'm Ryan, and I'm also Puck and Philostrate.
I hate him.
I hate her.
So, I know clearly this isn't the cast. It's sort of different this week because I'm also involved with the show. But we'll get into that later. Andrew, who else is involved with the show, cast and crew?
Okay, well, we have Anthony Arbizo, who's playing Theseus and Oberon. Ashley Arbizo, who's playing Hippolyta and Titania. We have Alex Jones playing Lysander. Catherine Lydon playing Helena. Callie Hanau playing Hermia. Adam Buck playing Demetrius. Let's see. Obviously, Mark Celeste playing Bottom.
Woo!
Yeah,
for Mark.
Boo.
No. He's the funniest part of the show.
We have Lauren Velasa playing both Quince and Peace Blossom. Ted playing Ted Chilak. Playing
the amazing Ted
flute.
Chilak.
He's just Ted.
Yes, just
Chilak.
Like
flute and Moss. And then Katie Beccaro playing Snug and Cobweb. And then Eric Frijanek playing Aegis and Snout.
Jesus. And who's involved?
No, Aegis. Everybody.
Oh, other people. Laura Herman is my AD. We have Ariella Rosberg doing makeup, Katie Mulfinger doing costumes, Julianne Igo is our stage manager, and Jesse Kramer is our tech director.
Holy crap.
Yes.
How many people is that? Like,
that is 20 people total.
Jesus. And you're clearly, it's all clearly moving as one smooth old machine, right? I'll take that as a yes.
Yes, it is.
Also because I'm part of it. Never mind. All right, you guys, tell us a bit about the show. I know most people may be familiar with Midsummer Night's Dream, but maybe as a refresher, even those unfamiliar with the show, what is it about, sort of? Touch on the multiple plot lines.
Me?
Anyone.
You.
Yeah.
Maybe. I can do it, but it's boring if I talk
the
whole time.
I sound stupid.
No, you don't. Talk
about
stupid.
Seriously.
It's really like three plot lines put together. One is about the lovers, played by Alex, Adam, Callie, and Catherine. And their struggle, quest, I don't know how to describe it, their desire to get married to each other. You'll find out who with who if you come see the show.
It's Alex and Adam, right?
Of course, yes.
Not Adam. Getting married.
Gay
but
marriage is a very strict
thing. Well, the Laramie thing Project was last week. I feel that it's only... Oh, never mind. We're more open-minded now.
Yes, we're
more open-minded now.
There's also the story of the Mechanicals.
Who?
They are indeed robots.
I'm biased.
Actually,
no.
They're hard.
They're a group
laborers.
Of amateur actors from Athens who are putting
amateur
on a play.
Amateur life.
It's very true. Nicole fails with
her.
Who are putting on a play for Theseus's wedding night.
Theseus
and
is the king.
Theseus is the duke.
The duke.
Theseus.
Sorry.
Theseus.
He's not the king.
Duke?
See, Nicole fails
not
at
the
life.
King yet.
Damn it.
And the last plot is about the fairies, Oberon, Titania, and the fairies who are under them, and
also
basically
robots.
Oberon struggled to get the better of Titania, which you'll see if that happens or not if you come see the show.
Keep it a mystery out there.
Yeah.
So all these plots sort of start separately, but always, I guess in every Shakespeare play, sort of come together and mix up, mesh, crash together at the end, if you will.
And you would know.
You would know.
I know. I'm on the audience's side here. On the those out there in podcast land, I'm feigning ignorance. So, what sort of vision? What sort of vision, Andrew, did you have with the show? And I guess the other three of you, the actors, what have you? what are you getting from the vision? What are you seeing about the costumes, the set, the character choices that really sets this play apart?
Well, I mean, obviously I wanted it to be funny. That was the big part. But I tried to stage it as close as possible as to what you might see if you saw this in the globe. Like, our set is very simple, as is our lighting, and it really highlights the visual appeal of the costumes and makeup, which are both pretty intricate. I did modernize the acting style just to make it more relatable for the audience. It uses more like a modern farcical style than you might see with traditional Shakespeare, just because that's not really that funny.
And yeah, because yeah, you got to always keep your audience in mind. Now, I know, being in the play, that you've edited a bit, and like the one that comes to mind is that you split the character of Puck into two characters, and how did that play out? Any of you who'd like to answer?
Ryan's currently sticking his tongue at me.
Yes, I am. What was the question?
What we get from Puck being split into two characters.
Oh, it was a question about me.
Yes, it was.
Take it away.
As far as working as one half of a whole, it's been a really interesting experience just because it's really great being able to play off of the same person almost. We're supposed to represent two halves of the whole, my half, for Puck anyway, and for Phyllis,
and
right? But
Phyllis.
For Puck, great. I'm the cunning, quote, and he's
the chaos,
which is clear because he can't speak.
I cannot speak. Thank you.
But it's been really interesting working off of someone else.
It's cool. It gives you, it gives you someone to talk to during what would originally be monologues, and that can get kind of complicated when you're trying to talk to yourself or trying to make it interesting for the audience.
So it's weird.
It's also,
it's sort of like you're talking with yourself.
It is.
But
you are talking to yourself, but there's something physical to actually address yourself to, and it's weird. It's cool. It's fun. It's awesome.
Oh. And I guess touching on the third group, Nicole, I know. Together, we're both one of the mechanicals. How is it to play an idiot? One of the idiot actors.
It's a lot of fun. I like being in this group.
It's because there's not really one competent actor among the group. I mean,
besides
what?
You,
there's not a
no, of the mechanicals.
There's not
Ryan.
Of the mechanicals.
What did he just say about me?
Well, what I thought was fun is that I'll like. We all got to pick our own kind of personalities because they're not really set in the script. And it's fun to see, like, everyone has their own stupid, silly personalities. And it's fun.
Nicole has a creepy laugh.
Nicole has a creepy laugh.
Yeah, what is you tell us a little more about your character. Could we do the laugh for us?
No.
Maybe or should
do
I?
Do it.
You have to see the show.
Okay, oh, no.
You have to see the, yes.
Now we'll save that as a surprise.
Okay.
And is there, overall, I guess, is there any sort of message or moral that comes across in this play? Maybe? Besides, don't get lost in the woods?
Everyone always gets married in the end of Shakespeare's comedies. Yeah.
Don't get lost in fairy-ridden woods.
Watch
I'll
out
eat you.
For fairies.
Fairies are cannibalistic.
Fairies cause mischief.
I guess that's true. Now, Andrew, why did you pick this play? And I guess those who, the rest of you, why did you want to be in this show?
Why did I pick this play? That's kind of a long story. Originally, I did not pick this play. Originally, the play I picked was another play called Metamorphoses by Mary Zimmerman, except I found out that the School of Theater was bringing in a touring company to do that play. And obviously, it doesn't coincide. It doesn't work out too well when our seasons have the same shows in them. I thought about it for a while, and then I opted to do this one because it is my favorite Shakespeare. And I really wanted to pick something that would be... First of all, I wanted a big cast, because I like having a big cast. And I wanted to pick something that would be sort of an ambitious project. I think that this did turn out to be an ambitious project. You get to see the results of that ambition when you come see the show. I guess that's it.
Sweet. Okay, now, why did you, ye actors, why did you want to be in this show? Provided you want to be in the show, if you weren't just drafted in.
I hate
in.
This show.
That's a lie. Shakespeare.
No,
I don't know why.
It's fun, and as Andrew said before, it can be made really farcical, and it's... I don't get the chance to do something so funny and so farcical most of the time, so It's just been a lot of fun, and I knew it would be a lot of fun.
Me either.
That is a lie, Ryan. You were in a Commedia last semester.
That is a lie. I know that.
I was in Virginia Woolf. I was drunk.
Oh, so, I was drunk at Virginia Woolf, too.
You're never... coincidence. You don't drink.
I don't drink.
With
sorry.
It being a Shakespeare play, though, it is 400-plus years old. Were there any problems or challenges you guys, any of you, encountered in sort of bringing this show alive? Sort of making it where a modern audience can understand it, appreciate it, laugh at it?
No.
Well, that no answers that question.
Don't let Ryan answer.
We've had not one single flaw in this show.
We've had many.
I'm going to go knock on wood. I'll be right back.
All right. It's like you say, it's hard to make something so old relatable to a modern audience who, you know, you can't necessarily count on them to understand everything that's being said. Like, I did cut heavily into the script to shorten it to a 2-hour show, first of all, because I don't want to do a 3-hour show.
No, and yeah. I think that we appreciate, both as actors, and I think the audience will, you guys will like that, because it's Shakespeare in a single serving, single sitting. It's, you distilled everything down to the essence, the plot, and you still get the full power of the play, but in 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the cuts I made were mostly to make the script, like, funnier, because there are parts that sort of drag, and I cut out, like, a lot of those parts just because they weren't funny, you know? I also cut out, like, a couple of the jokes that were so antiquated, so obscure that no one would understand them. Mainly one about, like, French crowns and beards. It has something to do with syphilis, but no one's going to understand what it means.
I mean, syphilis is plenty funny, but just in context, it was like, oh, this is a snooze.
Yeah.
I'm going to research French kings, beards, and syphilis.
Crowns.
Crowns and beards.
Us nerdy English majors understand it. Speaking, though, of the language, what sort of audience are you hoping to see from this?
You.
I'll be there, Ryan.
No, I was talking to podcast land.
Oh, those
all
are podcast land. All of you that hear
all
this.
All of you Penn State students.
Should come out and see
this. If you hear
this,
it's a binding contract that you actually have to come.
No, it's not.
You are committed. Yes, it is.
It's also good if you ever take any English or Shakespeare classes, because now you have this one under your belt without having to read it.
Exactly. You don't have to read it.
It's like the movie, but the movie...
Live.
It's a lot more yeah, funny. The movie version.
And Puck isn't played by a horned Stanley Tucci.
It isn't. Played. It could have been, but
Michelle
it isn't.
Pfeiffer's not in it,
so it's now played by two horned Stanley Tucci's.
Okay, that is an old Jewish reference, and I take offense to that.
Anywho, back to the recommended audience. Those familiar or unfamiliar with Shakespeare, is this easy if someone's never seen a Shakespeare show before? Could they come into this, sit down, enjoy it, relax?
I think they could. I mean... like, a lot of the blocking relates to what's actually being said on stage, so even if you don't know anything about Shakespeare, you should be able to pick up what's going on. And, it's just funny. Like, even if you don't understand what's really being said, it's funny to watch these people just do crazy things, like, for 2 hours straight, pretty much.
Yeah, I think to step into my role as the actor, I think that if we put the right emphasis, if we do the right actions, if we're standing in the right place, so on and so forth... even if the audience doesn't understand every word, they should be able to pick up the inflection and our general meaning. And it's not going to be like a foreign, like, oh, ye, something with a heavy British accent. You know the deal.
I will change my accent to be more British.
No,
now.
You won't.
No, I won't.
I honestly think that this play is the most, you can understand this one better than most Shakespeare's. Most easy to comprehend.
And you can pick up, right, like you can pick up a lot of the jokes a little more easily just because of the wording. Like, there are a bunch of sex jokes that people who have seen Shakespeare will get, and probably people who haven't or aren't that experienced with Shakespeare will still probably get too. Like love juice. Everyone can figure out what that is.
Kool-Aid.
Love juice.
Clearly. speaking of that,
I never knew that.
Is there a what the hell, is there a recommended cap on how young, or will it just go over
72?
They're really
children of all ages will appreciate this.
No, I don't like children, so
me either.
I will say
there are
no bad
children. Words.
There are no bad words.
There are no bad words.
There's a lot of awkward situations. If you don't want your kids to be awkward, don't bring them to see the show, because there's a lot of awkward in this show.
If you're in college and you have a kid, rethink that situation.
Well, we're just hating on parents.
Well, with that,
parents.
So my little sisters can't come.
No.
No, they cannot.
It's their birthday today.
So I think the point is...
Okay, anyways.
Birthday today.
I think the point is bring everyone
you can
to see the show.
To see the show.
All right. So, are you guys excited?
Yeah! Woo! Hey. Nicole's yelling into this microphone.
Okay.
No,
so
but that was good.
With that...
That was enthusiasm.
In all the podcasts I'm doing, I give you guys about 30 seconds of pure PR to convince everyone out there in podcast land to come hear the show. And by that, I mean come see the show. Use your eyes and ears in this Midsummer Night Dream performance. Are you guys all set?
Yep.
Yep.
Go for it.
I'm naked.
There we go.
That is not true.
It's not
yes,
true.
It is. Nudity. It can be.
This is the last show that my hair will be in.
He's cutting
yes,
his hair
is
on
true.
April
16th. This is the last show.
April 16th,
Katie Vaccaro is
the
funniest
person
in the
movie.
Ted is dressing up in Ashley's
Ted
dress.
Ted is brilliant. Ted
he shaved
is really
his legs
fantastic.
For this part.
He was bleeding
true
all night.
True story.
True story.
I don't think anyone can understand what we just said.
It's okay.
Good. It's PR.
We love
that's
you
what's
all.
The point, right? Two, one, two.
Yeah.
Three, zero. We did it. Yay.
30 seconds of confusion.
Yay.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out and... break a leg. I guess me too.
Yay. Yeah.
Don't break a leg.
Well, that's all we've got for you for this NRT podcast. Be sure to listen in next week for an interview with the cast and crew of the Nickelodeon throwback, the best bits of your favorite TV shows that you grew up with. Once again, this week's NRT show is William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 9th, 10th, and 11th, 8 o'clock every night in 111 form. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.